Sometimes food is more than just food. It's part of our community. So this year, Discover is giving $5 million to support Black-owned restaurants to places like Back in the Day Bakery, Post Office Pies, and hundreds more. Learn how you can show your support at discover.com.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as K-Friend. Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone. This is the Friend Zone. I'm Dustin Ross, and here's the news that you can use. First up, Georgia teen who was temporarily suspended for taking a photo of that crowded high school hallway says that he has been receiving death threats. He also says in a statement, "Fuck a threat. I already been in that hallway." Okay. So he ain't worried. Next. Meek Mill attempted to help get rapper Jewel Santana an early release from prison, saying that the only dip setting that the dip set rapper Jewels was going to be doing was from dentures to glue to gums. And finally, scam allegations against Christian entrepreneur Dana Chanel are mounting as many come forward with stories of trifling-ass behavior from Miss Chanel, who has responded by issuing a statement to Our Daily Bread saying, "Dana Chanel, so the bag is as well. Fuck y'all." So she's just didn't come out with it. Okay.
Really? Oh, I can already tell what kind of week it's going to be. Just based off.
Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and hygiene, because we don't want no musty brain. Hey, friend, how you doing?
I'm amazing. See, I love when you take yourself out.
Right. And he almost didn't make it, which almost took me out.
How are you guys doing?
I feel like she just
didn't
step. I'm feeling real good. How y'all doing? Better than Dana Chanel's ass. How y'all doing?
Shit, better now. It's a new week,
I'm
a new
amazing.
Day.
Before we jump in, I know there's some announcements that have to be made. So please, let's open up the space for that. Your face. Wait, let me see what your name is. DJ Tracy. Okay. I guess I'm gonna have
from
to wait for that
the white one. The white one. But anyway. So, you know, I want to give a huge thank you to, first of all, Bravo for giving me the opportunity, but to also everyone else who tuned into the Instagram live session that I was able to conduct with Ashley Darby from The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yay!
She is yes.
OG of the franchise. Thank you so much. She's an OG of that franchise. And just from the moment that we started our chat, she was really, really warm, great personality. And we just had good chemistry and conversation. So all my friends were in the comments showing me so much love. And it really made my heart warm. And
that's
also
the best
sharpened
part.
My tools because I was focusing, you know. And so it was just great. So shout out to Ashley. Shout out to Bravo. And actually, I'll be back on live this Wednesday. So by the time everybody hears this, Wednesday night at 8 p.m., I'll be back on my Instagram live in conversation with Monique Samuels from The Housewives of Potomac. So me and Monique will be going live this Wednesday at 8 p.m. So I hope to see all of you lovely people there in the chat. But shout out to Bravo. That's the kind of work I love
this
doing.
This is so perfect.
It's like perfect.
Thank you.
I tweeted I'm Bravo. So I was like, we want to see Dustin Ross on your channel.
No, honestly.
Bring on that Bravo talk show.
Come
y'all.
On, man. It. Like, I know it's your dream. So I'm like, let's all put our energy towards making this shit pop off.
It was great watching you two have that conversation. Like, the natural chemistry and watching you in your element is always amazing. Like, the first time we met, you were in your element. So always seeing you in that mode is always great to watch. So
thank
kudos
you,
to you, man.
I had to write them questions, man, and Bravo approved them. They didn't give me any like pushback. They kind of gave me free reign to ask what I wanted.
Yes.
So I just it was a great.
You did a great job with those questions.
And you're genuinely into these shows. You know what I mean?
Thank
so
you,
it's
y'all.
Like they're gonna get the best questions out of you. You genuinely watch this stuff.
You want me to tell you how crazy life is, though?
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you, we were scheduled to go live at 8 o'clock. Monique was actually going to go live with us, but we had to separate her interview because she had personal circumstances going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so right before we were scheduled to go live at 8 o'clock, I took my trash out at about 7:11 p.m. I had already done a check-in with Bravo at 7 p.m. that everything was up and ready. You know, we were ready to go. Long story short, I locked myself out of my
apartment at
about 7:16 p.m.
Oh my God, my heart.
Called a locksmith. The locks, right, so I'm panicking. You all know how serious I take this shit. So I'm panicking. So I call a locksmith. They're like, with a really shitty attitude, they're like, you know, 25 minutes. That's the fastest we can be there. So I'm like, God damn. By that time, they would have arrived at 7:56, but I had to do what I had to do. So I called, I contacted my point of contact at Bravo, let them know what was going on. They were more than accommodating, like, don't even worry about it. Just get yourself back in, blah, blah, blah. So my building super just happened to be walking across the street as I'm waiting for the locksmith to come in. He's like, yo, are you in trouble? You need some help? I'm like, yeah, I locked myself out. So long story short, he was able to let me back into my apartment.
Wow.
Get in here. The live is scheduled for 8:30. Literally sit down, have everything set up. Bravo's already on board. We're 8:30, we're rolling. At 8:28, I sat in front of my laptop and the chair literally collapsed from underneath.
What the hell? Knocked
over the water that I had on the table, spilled water all over my shirt. So that blue shirt I was wearing was not the shirt I intended to wear. That was the first shirt that I saw that I had to grab in order to be on time for that 8. So I hurried up and reassembled the chair and just hit it with the strength of ooh, I don't even know, but I hit that chair so hard to put it back together and literally just prayed about it and sat down and pressed live at 8:30 and we had a great interview.
Holy
literally,
shit.
Wow. Up until the moment, it was pure chaos. So.
Well, we didn't see any of that.
Right.
Ooh.
It was a lot going. Literally, 8:28, y'all, that happened to me. I was
a true professional.
My God.
A true professional.
So.
I mean, that's preparation because you know that lifestyle is chaotic. So you got to be on it. God. It's like ninja training, how we call it.
Okay. Never, so, but we're going to do it again Wednesday. So I'll see y'all Wednesday night.
We'll be there.
Yes.
Everybody listening, make sure you tune in. Dustin's IG is Look at Dustin. And we will be there in the comments supporting our brother.
Thank you. I love y'all.
Love you too. That's so bomb. I also want to thank HBO. You know their new show, Lovecraft Country. Have y'all been seeing the tweets for it and the promo?
Yes. And I cannot wait to watch it. Looks like it's going to be amazing. With Journey
Incredible.
Smollett, right?
Yes, Journey with Bill, Journey. With, right. And they had a virtual screening for it last night. And it was incredible. I'm so thankful that HBO sent that my way. So I got to, you know, get a sneak peek of the first episode and y'all are in for a treat. I feel like HBO was just on it. Like,
yes.
They're kind of unstoppable because I May Destroy You, obviously Insecure, like they're just on it with all this incredible black talent and black storytelling.
Yes.
So excited that they have that out for us. It airs on the 16th, so definitely make sure and catch that. But I had to thank HBO for that preview. It also was interesting to have like a virtual screening. I was like,
yeah,
our lives are really changing out here. Like, everything
and friend, that's right up your alley too. That's the thing.
I mean, hello, I was on my couch with my blanket like, this is perfect.
Sitting cozy. Okay,
cozy bay at it again. So thank you to Bravo, thank you to HBO. We are out here. So with all of that being said, I have a black business for you guys. And Santi, you're going to be very excited about this one.
Because it's the blackest.
Not only is it the blackest, but it's the blackest anime.
Ooh.
Are you ready? I knew you would be happy.
Let's go.
So Thandiwe Mulali is a young black independent animation producer, writer, and illustrator based in Johannesburg, South Africa, who is actively carving out a unique space in the country's fast-growing animation industry. She's actually going to be, this is going to be the first independent black woman-owned animation studio in all of South Africa.
Wow.
Is that not incredible?
Levels.
That's dope as
Levels.
Hell.
And Thandiwe is actually what I consider her like a baby sister because she has been to all of my wellness retreats. She says,
what?
Yes. And I remember when we had our retreat that was based on creativity. Like that was what the activation was about. We came together to activate all of our goals. And this was something she said was her plan. So to see it come together, where now she's crowdfunding for their first project, and it's an African mythology based show. It's called Sola, and it's the first development in their Afro anime short film series, and it's a 22nd century South Africa to be brought to life through an ambitious crowdfunding initiative, which is where we come in. As soon as I saw her talking about it, I was like, oh, I'm going to amplify it on our show. Y'all already know how I feel about it being an ecosystem. And the fact that I saw her talking about this years ago and watching her bring it to life is inspiring for all of us. You know what I mean? So to follow and donate to make Sola happen, Sola is spelled S-O-L-A, the crowdfunding initiative, you can visit studioyezi.co.za. That's studioyezi.co.za. And I'm so excited for her. I thought of you, Asante. I was like, oh, this is great.
The whole time. I'm so sorry. I promise you I was paying attention, but I was like Googling her name and everything the whole time. Like, I'm not, like, you're not going to just say what you just said at the end. So yes, I'm here and I'm donating.
Isn't that so great?
That's dope as hell. I love that.
She did the work too, so she deserves all this support. If she's put those many years into this project and not giving up and gotten it to this point, like, it's actually an honor to support somebody like that.
And it's beautiful to watch. Like, she's been posting. Let me see if I can show you guys this image from behind the scenes. See them in the studio, the black women with their braids. With their right? With their masks, their braids, their cute clothes. They're just fly ass women coming together, working on this project and bringing it to life. And I love that it's animation. I love that it's black women owned in South Africa. So definitely, if it's something that you're interested in, if you know how we do, if you can't afford to donate, at least share the information for those who can. And Thandiwe, this is awesome to see, awesome to watch, and I cannot wait to press play on this project and just remember watching you talk about it at the activation tour. So that's it for this week's Black Business.
Damn, that was a really good one, Fran. I'm excited for that.
I'm excited for her, man. This is huge for everyone, though. I told her, too. I was like, are you sure it's only in South Africa? What if you're, like, the first black woman-owned animation studio in the world? Like,
right.
I don't know. I'd have to do the research on that. But I was like, you might have to change that PDF.
Okay, shit, right. Update them credentials on them, okay?
Update those credentials. So that's our black business. Dustin's doing the show.
Run the world.
So with that being said, are you guys ready to jump into this week's recap segment?
Yeah, I am.
Oh yeah.
So last week's episode titled Mima Has No Say, we discussed Sabamfu Somei's The Spirit of Intimacy. What role does spirit, if any, your life's purpose and community of friends play in the partners you decide to be with? That's what we discussed. And as always, those of you listening had a lot to say. Who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out in the emails. Don't forget to email us at thefriendzone@loudspeakersnetwork.com. I see an email here from Rad, and the subject is glorification of African spiritual customs. And Rad says, my comment is about the episode, African spirituality. A thing that irks many of us, Africans that live slash have immediate family living in the continent, is the fetishizing and grouping of African spiritual customs. So I appreciate Fran being clear that this is a form of culture from Burkina Faso. I just want to give a perspective of the practice as it stands today. Growing up in Yoruba, in the UK, we saw that marriage was a community event evolving a lot of traditional practices. Many of our parents and their parents were in arranged marriages, with some of them going up in flames. Dustin makes a very great point. Relying on someone else to decide who is right for you is a recipe for disaster. Most often for women in the community, it's a matter of security, then compatibility. Today, most of us are free to choose partners, but tradition remains and certain criteria, often financial, have to be met along with approval from family members. Keep up the great work. So shout out to Rad for giving us perspective. and for giving props to Fran for doing that, because I know sometimes people always be like, when you say Africa, specify or talk about this. So, you really
not
honed
trying to
in.
Be like Nas, not trying to be like Nas and Belly when he was like, we moving to Africa.
Yes, because you really honed in, and it's crazy that you honed in on something that you said was an encyclopedia almost. So there's going to be a lot of great lessons from that book. And just shout out to Rap for giving us perspective on where they're at today. What about you, friend? What did you find out there in them SoundCloud streets?
So I actually stepped into the Twitter streets today. Shout out to Dustin. So granddaughter of Tanqueray said, listen to the friends on the I love y'all. I really do. Listening to
if
the friends
on her grandmama named Tanqueray, for real. That's really what it is. It's not even so much that she chose that. It's the fact that this motherfucker grandmama name is Tanqueray. That's where the focus lies. Oh. But I'm gonna let you rock.
Listening to Friendzone Pod, and I totally agree with letting the elders choose your partner. Before I met my husband, me and Spirit and the ancestors had a conversation about if I was ready and who was the partner for me. And when I met him, it was clear. I can talk about the ups and downs freely because
it was a ghost.
Because we recognize that we are imperfect and conflict is natural. And having the support of our village in tough times has held us while we get through. There is power in other people being lovingly invested in your relationship with you. I love that because y'all know that's the team I'm on. And I had to make it clear because a lot of people were like, hell no, I would never let my grandmother pick my boyfriend. I'm like, hey, that's not what I was saying. In the context, the sacred context of the book, Spirit of Intimacy, she was discussing how everyone in the elder community is very in touch with their intuition, with spirituality, with the ancestors, and the information they receive is multidimensional. I am in no way talking about my grandma who's at home and does not tap into any of that. Obviously, she's not going to. She's going to be very disconnected with trying to decide who I should date. But I think she's just going to be like, he cute. He got money. You know, all the basic shit. So that's
like
not what I was saying.
To me.
But if we had been raised.
DJ Tracy.
Check.
DJ Tracy.
But if we had been raised in that context of sacred spirituality, I would be more inclined to allow that and be into it. So just had to put that out there because some of y'all had me dead talking about what your grandmother would choose. Dustin Ross, what about... First of all the comments and emails were hilarious. I love y'all so much. But Dustin Ross, what'd you find in the Twitter streets?
All right, I got two tweets for y'all. One of them is hilarious. We're going to do that first. And then the second one is like black excellence and it's edifying, okay?
Okay.
So the first one we're going to do, it comes from a woman named Bella at T-A-L-A-W-A-B. Not the acronym you guys are thinking about. Her name is just WAB. But anyway, so she says,
what?
She posts a picture from the Instagram account Progressive Love Academy, located in Asheville, North Carolina. And in the picture, there's a black woman and two black men. She's holding one's hand and has her arm around the other one's neck. And the caption of the picture says, "Poly girls have all the fun. Here's me and my two life partners. One is a body love. One is a mind love. They're both 6'3". They both have beards. We all love each other." Okay, so the Instagram account Tyler Wad posted that picture. Here's the picture so you guys can see.
I saw that too.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
So she posts that picture and she says, "This woman showing off her two partners / men is progressive. Love to see it since polygamy often shows only 2+ women / 1-man relationships," right? So the tweet that caught my attention was the one that quoted all of that, okay? From the account at Darf, D-A-R-F-B-Y-K-E. And their handle is Kindhearted Bitch. And it says, "This is my worst nightmare. Finally getting two males to agree to an open poly relationship and they both end up being ugly."
Oh, no.
When I tell you.
Oh, no.
What did I tell you? Because it just threw me off. it was such a sharp pivot, y'all. I swear, it fucked me up. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, damn, I expected a harsh opinion, you know, just on the subject matter alone. But shut
up. Fred, I'm so sorry. The no is what took me out. Oh my God, Fred.
That's so fucking mean, bro.
Nah, I just retweeted it, so I know it's going to, a lot of people that listen to it, y'all going to see it. I've been waiting to retweet it so that it would be fresh for y'all by the time we got to this episode.
I saw someone tweet, congrats, with a question mark. God damn. The internet is ruthless.
Okay.
A lawless land, I tell you.
I'm telling you, that pulled me together. So now that we got that out the way, let's get to the good one, right?
Ooh.
The good one comes from Dreadcraft.
Wait, Asante can't even breathe.
Friend was hitting all them notes, and it took me out. She couldn't take it. She didn't know. None of us knew where you was about to take that.
She literally said, the tweet says, this is my worst nightmare. Finally getting two males to agree to an open poly relationship, and they both end up being
And did you see she has a sugar daddy too?
Yeah, the white man. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
My loves love for me to spend time with my extra love. I was like, this lady.
Your girl is big.
Got it all going on.
I'm here for it. That's amazing. Wow.
Okay, yeah, I ain't no hater. Look, anyway, so Dreadcraft, okay, on Twitter said, Juvenile is pivoting you hobbyist/carpenting Instagram, and I, for one, am love to see it, right? So what he meant was carpentry, but it's okay. So, but Juvenile, the rapper Juvenile, he has posted all these pictures to his Instagram account where he has created these little, like, lamps and tables and little fixtures and stools and just carpentry, real deal carpentry, you know, and things that he's doing as a hobby. And I think it's so dope to watch, you know, someone who wouldn't typically feature a hobby of this sort. You know what I'm saying? I love it when you shock and awe, motherfucker. Like, that's what you gotta do. Shake it up under, shake out the floor ground from, you know how California be busting open and shaking the ground? That's what you gotta do to people when they think you're a one trick pony. And Juvenile did that. So not only did he back that ass up,
I want one of them stools.
And our friend was shopping. Friend got her on some things.
I'm saying, hey, love to see it. So shout out to you, Juvenile. Shit. That's
y'all
all I got
to say.
Y'all
are funny as hell. So Woo! This week's episode is going to be taken over by none other than Dustin Ross. So go ahead and tell us what we're getting into this week.
You sure you want me to do that? Because you know that means you're leaving it all up to me. So.
We gonna base ourselves.
Yes, we are.
All right. If the rain is free, I'm taking it. Okay. So this week, we're gonna do something that we've done before. Everybody loved it and we haven't done in a while. And we're gonna revisit the crime zone. Okay.
Ooh.
We're going back to the crime zone, y'all.
Y'all, shit. I am about to crack up laughing because if Fran had any kind of way that she was acting that time. Ooh.
I'm telling you, you know, this one here, I was looking and researching for, I felt like it was appropriate time for us to revisit the crime zone and share a story and just offer our opinions, you know, pour in, tap in, like Saweetie said. By the way, did y'all see Saweetie's mama, the pictures of her?
Oh my God, in the bathing suit? She is beautiful.
That ain't no equal. That's pure sugar. Like if Saweetie was a little sweet, her mama is pure cane sugar. Do you hear me?
And her dad finds him. Craziness, man.
Tap in.
I had seen an old picture of her daddy where everybody was like, damn, that's Saweetie daddy. You know what I'm saying? And then after these pictures of her mama came out, I saw like them all together as a family on the carpet.
Tap in.
And so her mama, like those are current new pictures of her mom that we saw circulate. She looks amazing, her mama.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. Okay, back to this. So anyway, Okay, I said, God damn, it's been hard time. Black coffee and a hard roll. He looks like you done been through it. Shit. But that mama is a vegan, obviously. But anyway, let's just go on. So this week I found a story. It's a true crime story. It's coming from Medium.com. I know you guys are familiar with Medium.
I love Medium, yeah.
Absolutely. So they just have a wealth of knowledge about a lot of different shit. But they also had a few true crime stories that I thought were fascinating, one of which we're going to talk about today. So this story is called The Unsolved Disappearance of 14-year-old Andrew Godson.
Ooh, okay? I'm in.
Missing since 2007, Andrew Godson got on a train to London and was never heard from again.
Wow.
Okay.
Don't do that music, friend. It gives me chills. Shit.
So, on September 14th, 2007, according to Medium.com, it seemed like any other day for the Godson family, right? They were going through their usual morning routine in their Doncaster, South Yorkshire home. So you guys know where that is. We in the UK with it, okay?
Mm.
Up top. And Skepta and all that shit. Okay? Chop chop on the up. You know, that's where we at. So Glennis was the mama, right? And she noted that her son Andrew, the one that ended up going missing, he, you know that Mariah Carey song Fly Like a Bird?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. But anyway, so
stop.
Okay. So anyway.
Oh,
the mama noted that her son had a difficult time waking up that day and he seemed really irritable. And it wasn't initially thought of as anything more than typical teenager shit because that's what he did. But it was unusual for him, as the one thing that he typically did consistently was be an early riser. Okay, he got up very early every day. Now, this family consisted of Glennis, the mama, and Kevin, the daddy. And the kids were 14-year-old Andrew and 16-year-old Charlotte. Now, me personally, that's where the red flag started going up for me, because when you ever heard of a 16-year-old named Charlotte? That's an old name.
I love that 16, name.
Yeah, now, you know, you see little like two-year-olds, like how you might see in Ethel, you know what I'm saying, now. But you ain't really seeing no 16-year-old's name. But anyway.
When it was Charlotte on the Ozarks.
I just started, something didn't feel right at that point in the story for me. But anyway, so that morning, now remember, Andrew is 14. He left the house at 8:05 in the morning, which was the usual time that he left. And he was wearing his school uniform and he headed the direction of his bus stop, okay? Now, this was only 8 days into the school year. And Andrew's parents found out that he had stopped taking the school bus and was instead walking the 6.4 kilometers home, okay? That's about 4 miles, right?
Whoa.
6.4 kilometers, about 4 miles that this boy was walking home every day. And only 8 days into the school year, right? He was definitely small for his age, and even though he was 14, he looked way younger than he was. He wore a very strong prescription of glasses, so he had thick-ass glasses, and he was deaf in one ear and was described as quiet and shy. So I already started feeling sorry for him at this point, because obviously he had a lot going on that he was managing at 14, not maturing yet, you know, vision issues, so the thick glasses were, you know, an invitation for people to roast him. Then he was deaf in one ear. It was just a lot going on. And also, on top of all that, he had a unique double ridge on the inside of his ear. So right on the inside of his ear, there was like a double ridge that no one had ever seen on a person before. So okay. Although all that was going on, Andrew was still very intelligent. He was in several programs and teams at the school for, you know, people that excelled academically. And even though he didn't seem to enjoy school, it didn't challenge him. So he was smart. He got all of his schoolwork done, but he just hated the experience of being there. And so he had a small group of friends at school, and his parents said that he really didn't socialize out of school, and he would spend most of his time in his room listening to music, reading, playing video games, shit like that. They said that they never noticed any signs of depression or bullying, but he just didn't talk a lot about what happened at school during the day. And so back to this morning in 2007, although he headed in the direction of his bus, he didn't get on the bus, you guys.
Mm.
He went to a cash machine and withdrew 200 pounds.
What? So wait a minute.
Went to a cash machine and withdrew 200 pounds. That's about 230-something dollars, right? American, right?
Yeah, like today, yeah.
About two-something, yeah. Okay, so withdrew all that money. Now, for me, you 14, right?
I'm more surprised he had a bank card to withdraw money with.
Well, that's what I was thinking. This is 2007, you said?
14? I wish.
Right, like.
So to me, these parents, like, what the fuck was y'all doing? It just seems too loose, you know what I mean? And too, especially for your child to have all these things that are special circumstances that he has to manage. Like, where are y'all at? Why is he even able to not go to the damn bus? Take him to the bus. Anyway, So he withdrew the money from the bank account and he waited in the park until his parents and sister left the house to go to work. After Andrew returned home, he changed out of his school uniform, which was found later in the washing machine.
What?
He put on a black Slipknot t-shirt, black jeans, and packed his favorite book bag. So to me, it seemed like he had a little style. They should have just been letting him wear it anyway, but whatever. So he took his book bag and he took with him his wallet, his house keys, and a PSP, which Asante, you know what that is.
Yes, right? A mobile PlayStation.
There you go. So it was noted
to the PSP.
It was, you know, I always felt like they was too big, too, like, remember when Marlo Hampton was talking about Kenya Moore's lashes? Because they too thick and they too big. I always felt like that about the
yeah,
PSP.
they needed to take that back to the drawing board. Yeah.
Mm-mm, it's like you holding a goddamn skateboard. But anyway, so it was noted by police that he did not take the 100 pounds in cash he had from his birthday or the charger for his PSP or his passport or a coat. So this obviously, it didn't seem like he intended for it to be a long-term trip.
Right. Okay.
But by 8:30 a.m., Andrew had left home. He was captured on a neighbor's CCTV footage heading down Littlemore Lane back towards the park. Now, again, red flag. Who is going to live on Littlemore Lane? That sounds like oh my street God, where the shit be going down. Littlemore Lane? Ain't that where them bitches lived on Desperate Housewives?
You can't choose the street
Wisteria.
Name.
That was Wisteria Lane. That just don't sound, I don't know. But anyway.
I hope all our listeners from Littlemore Lane tweet you about this.
Me too, and tell me how y'all going to get up out the hood one day, you know? How you going to make it out, you know what I'm saying? Bootstraps.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, okay.
A little more projects.
Not little more projects.
So they said that he was captured on the footage heading down Little More
Projects.
Scary ass lane, heading back towards the park. He walked into the train station and bought a one-way ticket to London. The ticket seller, catch this, y'all. The ticket seller remembered Andrew and noted that she tried to sell him a round trip, but he insisted on one way. It would only have been an extra pound to get the round trip ticket.
Damn.
So obviously, once they started saying that he was missing and stuff, the person who was selling the tickets recognized his face and gave this information to the authorities.
Yeah. Right.
So the story goes, Andrew boarded the train at 9:35 a.m. A woman who sat next to him on the train said she remembers him as being quiet and fully engrossed in playing a game on his PSP. Andrew arrived in London at 11:20 a.m. and CCTV footage captures him leaving the station at 11:25 a.m. This was the last confirmed sighting of Andrew.
What?
Okay. And there's the picture for you all that I'm talking to of him leaving the
station.
Right? I told you he had style. His hair was cute. With the Bayang! The Bayang!
No!
He had that emo bang everybody had on MySpace.
That was the year, too.
So, it says that no one noticed that Andrew was missing at first. This is all odd to me, y'all. You tell me if you're getting those Netflix documentary vibes. What was the one we just talked about with the girl who the man was playing that fake message for and she thought she was in a spaceship? What was that called?
Oh, yeah, Jan Broberg.
Yeah, tell me if you're getting Broberg vibes from all this. But listen. So they said that no one noticed that Andrew was missing at first, right? The school had attempted to notify his parents, but they called the wrong number to inform his parents that Andrew hadn't arrived at school that day.
Wow. So no one was ever
notified. The Godson family, like what? So the Godson family sat down for supper and assumed that Andrew was in his room playing video games.
Supper?
Supper. What time do you eat supper, friend?
Holy hell.
Nighttime. So that means that they just
disconnected.
Again,
whole day passed. Wow.
So they sat down for supper and assumed that Andrew was in his room playing video games. When they finally noticed that the nigga wasn't there, his mother started calling his friends to locate him, thinking that he was out and had just lost track of time. She learned Andrew from one of his friends that he hadn't gone to school that morning. It was around 7 p.m. when the police were called to report Andrew missing. So they didn't even call to report him missing until 7 p.m. I know I got out of school about 3 at the latest. You know what I'm saying? My entire middle school, high school career, I got out of school about 3 p.m. at the latest. Ain't no way my parents would have not known where I was from 3 to 7 p.m. No explanation, just thinking, assuming that I'm just...
Yeah, no, especially not just assuming you're in your bedroom. Like, my mom, the first thing she would do was knock on my door.
Okay, she needs to know who is in her home.
Like, she needs to know, like, before she could even get settled. I don't think she would even take off her shoes yet before she's already on my door to make sure.
Okay, that's my point. What kind of household was this where you have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old with lots of special circumstances, might I add, and you are just giving him that much freedom and just not... I don't even think it's an issue of them giving him freedom. They just didn't give a fuck what it was going on, where he was at. They just,
I mean, and I get some parents are a little more lax, you know? Like, not everybody rules with an iron fist in their household. Right. So I get that, but damn, like, damn.
Me too, but I think this is even, like... Even some of those parents who are lax, you know where your kid is at. You know
right, what you're just you not hawking them.
Allowing them to go, right, you know? Right. But you know where the fuck they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
So he was never found?
Let me tell you, no. So it says they initially thought that he had either suffered an accident or was abducted, as his parents didn't believe that he would have any reason to run away. It took 3 days for the police to learn that Andrew had taken that train to London. And it was the person who had sold him the ticket that called into the tip line in the first place. It took police 3 weeks to find the CCTV footage of him leaving the train station. Andrew did not have any social media, and it was unlikely that he went to London to meet anyone. The only computer in his house belonged to his sister, her laptop, and Andrew had no access to it. The computers at his school and the computers at the local library were all checked, but nothing relating to Andrew was found. His PSP was also checked, along with his other video games console, and it did not appear that he ever used the device features that would be needed to talk to people. His sister even said that Andrew had very little interest in connecting with people online because he just didn't seem social. So the reason why Andrew may have wanted to go to London was to attend a concert. 30 Seconds to Mars was playing the day that he disappeared, and there was also a show from a local band called Sixth that was playing a farewell show. And the farewell show would be the last with the band's original vocalist. Since Andrew loved all this metal music, but they thought that this may have been the reason, but his parents were unsure if he was a fan of either band.
Mm.
Both bands, though, appealed to their fan bases to submit any photos taken from the concerts to the police to be scanned for evidence of Andrew. So this search, like, was wide and vast at this point. Andrew's father... You ready? Andrew's father said that Andrew's favorite TV show was The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, which was a story where the main character fakes his death and starts a new life. Andrew, however, didn't take enough belongings to take an extended journey. He didn't take clothing, a jacket, his PSP charger, or the remaining cash he had. Throughout the years, there have been dozens of tips called into police, right? But nothing has led to the discovery of Andrew. In 2008, a man went into the Leominster police station and used the intercom system to report a sighting of Andrew. That was 1 year later, right? However, the intercom system was used to replace a staffed reception, and by the time an officer arrived, the man had left. Police made public appeal for the man to come forward, and a man later wrote to the BBC claiming to be that man with the details of a possible sighting in Shrewsbury. It isn't confirmed that the man was even the same one that originally made the report, nor was Andrew found in Shrewsbury. In 2018, okay, so this is 11 years later, the Godson family revealed that someone had sent them an online conversation with an individual and an unknown person with the username Andy Rue, R-O-O, right? Andy, R-O-O, Andy Rue, Andrew, right? Who claimed that their boyfriend left them and they needed £200 to cover rent. The person offered to send them money, but the user said that they didn't have a bank account as they had left home when they were 14. Rue is a nickname that was given to Andrew as a child. He would be 27 now. He's been missing for over 13 years, and his parents are desperate for his return. And should he or anyone who knows him see this, they ask that he reach out, and he lets them know that he's okay. Andrew is loved unconditionally, so they say, and would be very welcomed home. Now, another gifted student went missing 10 months after Godson. 16-year-old Alexander Slowly, right? Now, with this particular case, I feel like I sound just like them girls on
You do right now. I'm in it. Shit, I'm like, ah!
When she be like, now, and he's never found him again.
Again. And then you hear that damn music. Then they do like this, friend, they be like, now, another gifted student went missing 10 months after Dodson. And this is 16-year-old Alexander Slowly. Now, there isn't a lot of information on this case. He disappeared from London, UK. Shout out to them. I love that show. Love y'all. Love y'all. Love that show. He disappeared from London, though, failing to return home from a friend's house. Now, Alexander, who, by the way, was black, had little money, no extra clothing, nor a passport. He did have a cell phone, but it lost connection the day he went missing. Investigators believe the cases may have a link, but they aren't sure what the relationship is. Alexander was last reported to have been seen around the King's Cross station, which is the same area where Andrew disappeared.
What on earth?
They need to check the school library, the staff. Like, I don't know. Like, this is so weird. Because before you said the second case, I was going to be like, well, what game was he playing? Like they was watching the show. So I'm trying to think, like, did he get the idea he was going to create a new life? And he was playing the game up until and whatever. Like, I'm just so floored and I'm invested. This is insane.
I don't know. Stories about missing people and like missing children in particular always affect me because my brain cannot reconcile it. Like, I'm like, where are all these people? Especially when you look at the stats of how many people go missing every year.
Yeah.
It isn't like it's surreal.
The world is a scary, fucked up place to be as a 30 something adult. Okay, can you imagine being 14 years old and having to literally navigate the world on your own? No matter what circumstances you got yourself into, all the decision making is up to you at 14.
That's just an unbelievable circumstance.
Like, and the fact that his parents were just so casual about this shit, you know, and never really checked to see if he was even in the room. I just smell a dirty, low-down rat in them parents. I do.
And that's even scarier when you find out stories about the parents being involved. You know who had a story about a missing sibling? Y'all know Winter Gordon. Well, now she's Diana Gordon. She had a similar story where her little brother went missing. Or I think he was her older brother. One of her siblings went missing when they were all children. And she, like, just recently saw him.
Wow.
All these years later, and mind you, he went missing as a child, and she saw someone that was homeless in LA and she couldn't shake the fact that it looked like her brother. And she could not shake it. And
it was her brother. Where had he been, friend?
That's the thing. She didn't, you know, go into detail about exactly where he's been all these years, because I don't know that she has had that convo with him. Because right now, from what she shared on her Instagram, they're in like a reconnecting, you know, because he's gone through a lot, you know, and it's not something you just bring up. Like, where have you been? You know, it's like, so I think she's easing into trying to reconnect. He's suffering from, you know, mental illness, and he's just been gone for, I mean, I'm going to guess, what's that, 20 something years? Like,
Jesus.
But
Christ.
I can't imagine, you know, it seems straight out of a movie. You passing and you staring at someone like, dude, you look like my brother that's been missing all these years. So stories like that always blow me, especially, you know, understanding.
That's a real QTNA.
Right, for real. And seeing, hearing things about like sex trafficking with children. And
oh God,
that's always the hardest pill to swallow. You know, even now reading all the Epstein files that are being unsealed. Just the documentaries and hearing the victims sharing like how they were just because they were poor, you know, and he had access and he would kind of wave a carrot over their head of like, I can get you into this school, I can get you into this, and using his access to reel these girls in and then abusing them. And
him and that no good ass, what was that woman's
Ghislaine
name? Yeah, Ghislaine.
Ghislaine Maxwell,
Both of them need to just burn and rot in hell twice.
Man, it's just bugged out. But stories like that, it's so unsettling. So unsettling.
Now I want to know where Andrew is. I want to know where that boy is, and I want to know what happened. And I want to know how no one has been able to find anything on this. Why don't anybody know where he is? Why?
In a world where everything is surveillance, like there are cameras everywhere. I never understand how someone just drops off.
You know what's crazy? This entire time I've been thinking like, I need to thank God so much because I think I've said before, when I was younger, I used to just run away from home. I don't even know why.
I remember you saying that. You would just like wake up in the middle of the night
and just go like. And I just got to thank God that like nothing has ever happened to me, because that was back before there was really like, you know, there was cameras, but like not like today. Like I could have been snatched up. I could have been trafficked. Like anything could have happened to me. So I think when I hear these stories, I just be like, wow, like I don't know what the fuck my problem was when I was a child, or like what was going on spiritually that was telling me I need to just go, or like I don't know. I feel bad that these people like go missing, because it's scary. Like I just dodged that and these people out here, you just never know what happened to them, and it's just awful to hear about, especially with this Andrew character, and then someone like 10 months later in the same neighborhood. I'm like, is this connected? Like it just wakes up so many different random thoughts and it fucks me up.
Yeah, I don't like none of it.
Woo, wow. Mm.
So that's the story.
Now I'm not gonna be able to sleep wondering about Andrew.
Yep. So everybody do your Googles, research it, look it up. Let's find Andrew Godson. We gotta find out where this boy is with the bayang.
With the bayang. And I'm also curious if this is something you've ever experienced, whether it's with a family member, a friend, a sibling. Maybe you were in that situation. I'm curious to hear your stories, because I'm always so blown away. Did y'all see the big conspiracy with Wayfair?
Yeah, and those cabinets.
Allegedly.
I can't buy nothing off Wayfair. I'm terrified.
I know. And then, you know, it just didn't make any sense. And of course, they put out a statement, like, kind of being like, come on, y'all are ridiculous. This is another Twitter.
So explain it. Why can't they explain it then? How in the fuck was a file cabinet $13,000 named
after
named
a missing child, coincidentally? Yeah. And then the throw pillow that was like $10,000. And a lot of the names were like names that were not common, you know, like we're not talking about like Anne and Marie and Jill. Like it was like very, I can't even think of the names, but it was just names that were not common.
I can't, like every time I think about that, it literally makes me itch and I get goosebumps, because that's literal evil for someone to come up with that sort of concept and actually implement,
right,
you know, software to accommodate. That is literally pure evil, and it literally makes my skin crawl. So when that whole Wayfair thing, I said,
and it's hard Wayfair, because like we don't know if it's true. It just seems so shady and also very plausible. I don't put anything past people nowadays.
Me right. Either. Especially motherfuckers on the internet.
Yeah, especially with the use of the internet. Like the fact deep that they fakes. Can be so crafty. Yeah, just the deep web and the way that they can move kind of like unseen like that. Man, super creepy, super sad. And oof, the world we live in.
Y'all know I watch too much TV, so I've seen the scenarios played out so much on television. I'm just like, well, why it ain't broke in real life? Yeah, so when stuff like this, when it does happen, I'm like, well, is this it or is this because of the movie?
And people were like, oh well, Wayfair put out a statement. I'm like, well, y'all act like Wayfair is gonna be like, I y'all got us. Yeah, like
here
come
go the
on
kids back.
Like, yeah, you're right, my bad. Like they're not gonna fess up to it because y'all said so on Twitter. Like they got a lot of people involved, probably a lot of people in government, who knows? You know, all these things go so deep, such a web of sex trafficking. So I also noticed, I don't know if it's because of the Epstein or what, but it just seems like it's in the air more, these conversations, and people are talking about them more. So we'll see. Hopefully something gets unearthed that creates some type of change. I don't know, because this has been going on since it's been going on. But
yeah.
Thanks, Dustin, for our...
I'm sorry, but I just had to.
Right, like
I had to put it on your minds. You know what I'm saying?
It's Andy been a minute. Roo,
we gotta find you. So that's it. Ben & Jerry's three new non-dairy frozen desserts are a new twist on vegan euphoria. So many non-dairy flavors, so little time. Ben & Jerry's has three new non-dairy frozen desserts that are made with sunflower butter. The Ben & Jerry's flavor gurus have taken a big leap this time, and their new non-dairy flavors are the perfect sweet treats for vegans, vegetarians, and everyone in between. If you don't know, now you know that creme brulee non-dairy dessert that they have is the ticket. Do you hear me? It'll get you in. So try that. They have several other delicious flavors, but I love it. I find every time I find it, I buy all of them that they have. It's that good. So you can check out the Ben & Jerry's Sunflower Butter lineup and the whole non-dairy family at benjerry.com. That's benjerry.com. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So with that being said, let's go ahead and bring in the wind chimes.
I'm here to clean all this up.
Not Asante doing this dance. So do you guys remember when I told you about the Liberate Meditation app?
Yeah.
Where the practitioners and instructors and content creators are Black. They're people of color who center the Black and people of color experience so that you don't feel disconnected from the meditations. It's nice to be able to hear a Black woman discussing patriarchy or microaggressions at work. Whatever it is that you may be experiencing, there's something for you by people who live like you, who experience like you, and who are creating content for you specifically. Like I said, they center the Black and people of color experience. That's very rare, hard to find. As someone who has been in this spiritual journey and just this wellness scene for a very long time, it was very beautiful to watch this app come to life. Long overdue. The creator's name is Julio Rivera, and he reached out to me and said that because I posted his app on my Instagram and highlighted him for the Black business, they are going to be able to stay afloat for the rest of the year, which is fascinating. So happy to hear that. Y'all know that we love that. And not only that, he wanted to give back by offering 20 three-month subscriptions free of charge for 20 listeners. That's incredible. That's 3 months of as unlimited meditation classes that you can think of, guided meditations. They have something for everyone. It's an incredible app, honestly. They talk and cover every topic that you might be going through, from grief to, like I said, microaggressions, especially right now, racism, patriarchy, you name it. It's there by a person of color. So if you want to be one of the 20, obviously it's hard for me to pick because I don't know everyone that's listening and I don't want to be biased. So please tweet me. And I think what I'm going to do is that the first 20 people who tweet me saying, hey, I don't want you to give me no sob story. You don't have to follow me. I'm not going to make you beg and grovel for the subscription. I honestly hate when people do that.
Right.
But the first 20 people that hit me saying, hey, I would love to be one of the 20 that receives this free subscription and consider it yours, for the first 20 that reach out to me on Twitter and say that. So my Twitter is at HeyFranHey. Very simple. And if you are not on Twitter, because I know a lot of you are going to say that I'm not on Twitter, then you can hit me on Instagram DMs. And obviously, I'll just match it by the timestamps and we can go from there. So thank you to Julio Rivera. Thank you to the Liberate Meditation app. Like I said, 20 of you will be receiving 3 month subscriptions free of charge. So hopefully that helps, especially right now. I know people are looking for as much help as they can in helping them sort through their emotions and what they're processing with everything going on. So
especially since we all done played the City Girls album out.
I mean, you know,
we need something new.
Something. So hopefully you find that useful. Wanted to put that into your awareness. And that's it for this week's wellness segment. Asante, Mr. Music Man, what you got for us this week?
Hey Friend Hey gave us something, oh. Hey Friend Hey gave us something, oh.
That need to be my tagline.
All right. Dead. That was Ty Dustin sign. another great week in music. So much has happened. I guess we can start with one of the bigger stories. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion have dropped us a nice gem, a great turnaround for some of what's been going on this year with the wet ass pussy. I would have just said WAP.
I thought it was waffles and pancakes.
Well, very much could have been that in certain aspects, but because, you know, they definitely were serving the breakfast. Anyway,
someone had a picture of Michael Jordan and said wet wide ass pants. I fucking hate Twitter. I swear to God.
I saw somebody going to tweet, "Hey there, Delilah, where'd you get that wet ass pussy?" Somebody tweeted that. Sorry, I tweeted
that. Oh my God.
Also, oh, shout out to Char says so.
You're killing her.
Char says so. Says she saw somebody called Blackest King, Bernice King. I fell the fuck out. I was down. Shout out to Char.
Oh, Char. Hi, it's beautiful Char.
Go ahead, Sasha.
Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion have given us a nice gem, a great track, along with a great visual. It was a double drop. It's gone on to upset some folks, and people want to ban it. I think it's great.
I just don't get it. Have we not always heard music like this? I'm so confused at people acting like this is new.
You know what? This is a confusion tactic. Do not feed into it. Do not respond to it. This is something that has happened for years. They're going to bring up something that we've always done, that they've always done, just to get us talking about that. Don't talk about it. Keep pushing it. Just keep playing it any fucking way and keep riding.
Because Lord,
I'm loving Megan Thee Stallion's energy. She's been giving us, "I'm going to collaborate with whoever I want." So continue to do that, Megan, and continue to drop bars on tracks. Continue featuring the new girls. I was really feeling so the cameos in the video. Suki Hana.
I love her more and more every time I see her.
You know what? I don't know if I... Definitely a sweetheart. Like, you know what I'm saying? Definitely excited to see what more Suki Hana is going to bring. She's giving us levels. You know, she's come in with some layers on her. So
can you tell me who Suki is? Because I feel so out the loop. Like, I keep seeing her. She's... Obviously, her name is being thrown out there more. But I'm like, I don't know who this young lady is.
Fran, I will tell you this. She is Suki with a good coochie.
Okay. Understood.
Asante, ain't she the one who was like, "I'm 5'5", but my throat 6'6"? Is she the same person?
I don't remember that part. But that's a good one. Hold on.
But you know what I'm talking about. But even if it wasn't her, every time I see her, though, she was a part of the WAP round table. Apple Music had a round table virtual discussion about the song and music in general. And Suki Hana was a part of it.
You're
that.
Right. It
and
was Suki Hana.
You saw what she said. When she was like, you know, she was like, when me and my girls hear Cardi talking about popping pussy, you know, on a song, she was like, "That liberates us." She was like, and you know, I don't think it's nothing wrong with being sexual. She was like, "Cause I got 3 motherfucking kids." She was like, "And I got these kids from sucking and fucking." She was
Wowza.
Like, "That's a natural part of life." She's like, "That's a natural part of life." She was like, "I don't see nothing wrong with it from you hoes talking about you got self-respect. How you got self-respect and you can't pay your rent, but you fucking him for free?" She was so bold and unapologetic that it was admirable. And there's something, she's wild and, you know, racy content, but it's something endearing about
yes.
her. It's something that makes you want her to win and like root for her the more you see her.
So she's an artist.
I like her.
Yes.
And,
okay, yep, she's an internet personality and she's rapping.
And yes. Back to what Dustin was referring to, Suki Hana put out a freestyle. It's called 5 Foot Freestyle towards the end of 2017. And friend, I'm going to read you some of these lyrics because it starts off like this. "I'm 5 foot, but my throat 6'6". I'm a ratchet bitch, suck a mean dick. You mad because your pussy ain't fat like this. And your man eat the pussy like chicken nuggets. I suck his dick for some red bottoms. I'm a real hoe, bitch. I don't spit, I swallow. And I only fuck with plugs. Little bitch, I'm shallow. Put that pussy on the plug is the fucking motto."
Where is the Pulitzer?
Okay. So for those of you listening,
give her her.
The way you read that just took me down. Chicken nuggets.
I was thinking about doing a little Maya Angelou for you, but you know, I saved that little spoken.
I like her name though, Sukihana. That's a dope ass name. Yeah.
Yes, dope name. Pretty looking girl. Nice hood rat energy. I'm fucking with Sukihana. Like also featured in the video. Okay. I'm not gonna name everyone because I can't remember everyone off the top of my head, and even though there was a few people, but you know, Normani made her cameo, which was hot. It was good watching her do her thing. And I also appreciated seeing Ruby Rose in the video. She's another young newcomer.
Oh, yeah, she was in it. And Rosalia. And
Rosalia. Yes,
Rosalia. You know, I love her. I was like, okay, I see they were trying to do the United Colors of Benetton. They threw a Latina in there. Mm-hmm. They had the black girl. They had the white girl. I was like, mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, codes in all area codes.
And it's also a good look because, you know, Cardi always crossover anyway. So it's also her staying true to that, too. You know, like, I'm not true. Just making a hip hop record. I also, you know, still got love from all my Latinas out there. OK, but shout out to Cardi B. We've always praised Cardi on this show. And it's not just because we love her, but it's because she deserves it. Like everything that she's done. So great visual. Great watching her do the choreo. Great watching her do the choreo with Megan. Great watching her and Megan look cute together. Drop bars together, loving this camaraderie in the industry for the females in hip hop. So congratulations!
Shout out to their teams too with that video. That was a lot of work, a lot of effort, and you could tell. Shout out to EJ King,
yes,
stylist. That's my friend. Shout out to Tokyo Styles who did Cardi's hair. Shout out to Kellen who did Megan's hair, and shout out to Colin who styled Cardi. To me, those four worked seamlessly Voltron. Together on that
yes.
video.
Yeah, like that was it just takes a village.
You know what?
It takes a village.
I'm glad you did and said that to put everybody on notice, because that village, they need to become a collective and just keep doing shit in the industry together, because that, like, that overall look for all of those people in the video, like, it was great. So,
and it goes so much further than just this, their work as stylists. Cardi did an interview where she said that that's literally how the collaboration was birthed. Yep. EJ and Colin were hanging out and they were like, why haven't our girls collaborated yet? Yeah, we got to hook that up. They facilitated like a meetup for them. The girl, Megan and Cardi, got along and now look where we are. So
amazing.
Shout out to them because their hands are far reaching in this industry.
Yes.
I love Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Colin and Luxury Law are like, it nailed for me. It. That's like, they don't miss.
And if you don't believe us, look at Celine Dion's Instagram.
Speaking of Law, so hooked fly,
her
up. Bro.
Never mind. I'm not going to say anything about that.
Law hooked her. I mean, come on. He transformed her. The whispers in the morning became the whispers in the morning.
Well,
okay.
Speaking of whispers, well, back to W's anyway. WAP was great overall. If you haven't checked it out, please check it out. Along with that, so many great artists who dropped music, just people that I'm always checking for, people you might have heard me talk about before. Young and May dropped a track. It's called Big Stepper. If you have not listened to Young and May, she's still working.
Oh, shit. Young and May.
I always love Young and May. I just love Young and May. Like, I see Young and May doing way more than what's happening now. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's even an issue, if she's working at her own pace, because she just might be comfortable and, you know, choosing creatively what she wants to do. And I can respect that. But I'd be having visions of Young and May on records with like Rick Ross and all these people. So just glad that you're giving us music and you're still out here.
Her and Ross would actually sound really dope on the song.
Like,
Asante, that's a great idea.
Like, I just be having visions of artists. So whenever they put music out, even though they're not going to give me what I want, I just be glad that they're still working. So thank you for still working, Young and May.
And Tommy from Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, Asante, put her on there too. You ever heard her rap? You ever heard her tone?
No, how she rap, Dustin.
You ever heard her tone?
Uh-uh.
I've been through it. I'm going through it. I do it. It's Tommy shit. I move it to it. Let's do it. That's how she. So it would actually go perfect with them.
Young.
It would actually go perfect. Also, Doja Cat is back. She has a song out called Freak. Doja Cat is just gonna keep coming. She's not done. She's not canceled.
I heard, what do you say? I heard they showing feet in racial chat rooms. Yo, I be saying that shit to Jade and Crystal and they like, fucking Nori, yo. He's so dumb.
I heard they showing feet. In racial chat room.
Wow. That should be the title of the episode. Wait, is that too long? Showing feet in racial chat rooms. No, that could be it, right?
Perfect. Done.
Jesus. Oh my God. Oh my God.
You know what? I'm going to catch my breath and I'm going to keep it moving. So... also outside of that, I'm going to move right past showing feet. Victoria Monet.
In racial chat room.
Victoria Monet dropped her project Jaguar.
Yes, Lord. Yes, mm-hmm. Lord.
I wish I...
And I found downloaded her,
it, but I didn't listen yet.
And her and Kehlani flirting on the timeline about one of the songs just juiced me up. I was like, oh, this is nice. I like Kehlani too. I like them both. And I like them both together.
Can I tell y'all something about Kehlani?
Asante. Yes, please.
I was trying to deflect it, Asante, because I see what you're doing. Please
go, because I'm trying to not say anything.
My old friend getting a whole bunch of questions and shit.
Please just take the wheel, okay?
So Donna from Black Ink Crew, right?
No.
You know Asante?
I know who that is. I wondered why.
Okay.
You said I only know Ryan Henry from Black Ink.
From Chicago. Okay, so Donna's on New York.
Can you introduce? So
you need to use your inside hands.
So
Black ass Donna, King.
Black ass King. Bernice King. So
OnlyFans.com.
Hey, that ain't no ad either. That's that ain't even no ad. That's the thing. You talking about a personal endorsement?
I cannot find my cell phone and I cannot be held.
Good, we don't need no phone. We don't need that fucking third eye. So, okay. Anyway.
Woo.
So sometimes I'll be seeing Donna from Black Ink Crew and be thinking that's Kehlani, but I ain't never seen Kehlani and thought it was Donna from Black Ink Crew. I just wonder why that happens to me. I wonder why that happens to me.
Why?
Can somebody help me? Like, why do that happen to me? Why do I see her and think, is that Kehlani? But I ain't never, ever seen Kehlani and been
the
like,
fact,
Donna
that's
Black
Donna.
What?
The fact that it's Dustin. Such a distinction.
What you're saying. What?
Fran, you tell Fran on a drunk night. Come on, Fran. Tell me.
Not at all. When
you walking
past,
you talking about QTNA. I almost brought QTNAs back just so I could do the running into each other.
Yo, I'm
but
dead.
It ain't never happened the other way around. That's the part that I need clarification on from somebody. But anyway,
France.com.
Where the hell is that from? Why am I singing that?
Expedia.
.com. Oh, that's what it is. You're so good. Good Lord.
Oh,
you see, he said that three different psychics had told him that he was gonna die like soon or young or whatever.
What?
And Ryan Henry, yeah, he tweeted out the other day. And he was like, don't put that shit on me. He was like, I'm covered. I'm good. Like,
sure.
I don't want to hear it. Problem. So like,
okay, I'm just gonna come right out and ask your friend, did you subscribe to the OnlyFans?
Justin,
and if
so like, but yeah.
Just share the password, don't answer on air.
I have not, okay. But you
I
know
you just be like cooking on there.
Oh well.
I mean, look, I'm a Taurus, that's enough for me.
I heard it was produced by Dana Chanel. It's all a scam.
Oh,
holy scam. How you gonna scam you? Well, I guess that ain't nothing new though. Them pastors and shit been scamming for years.
I mean, you seen Greenleaf.
Hey, man.
Yeah. Oh. And y'all know. Well, I'll talk about it in a second.
All right, well,
We're just going to do listens lately and move on because y'all have taken me out. I don't have energy to do anything else. Like, Fran.
Except.
Well, this ain't that kind of segment, so we're not talking about none of that. Fran, what?
What's that gift of Christina Aguilera when she got that mouth?
Oh, my God. I love that gift. It's the closest on the mouse for me.
You know what? I'm going to go, you know, Fran.
No, do you know what?
I don't. I absolutely don't.
Pupil.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Asante.
No, please. I would love so much to know what you all have been listening to lately. So, Fran, I would love.
Oh, man, the title of this song just falls in seamlessly.
Okay.
So, Touch Me.
Oh, okay. Falls in seamlessly. Well, Touch Me. Okay.
Look at Dustin's face. So, Touch Me by Victoria Monet is a splendid song. You know what? I'm not even going to say anything about it. You just have to hear it. And this is how it goes.
Went from hands on the wheel to hands on my thigh, hands on my body in the back of the Porsche. I'm in love with your fingertips, I reminisce places you kiss, girl, it's been too long. And when you rock them short nails, that's low-key sentimental. Now keep them cut, though, so there ain't no incidentals. And I love them tattoos, I still gotta learn them all. Tell me when you're gonna make them the writings on my wall. And touch me, feel me, too.
Beautiful.
Touch me. Ooh, she is just, all right.
Kiss me. Ooh. Show me.
And when she said, when you cut your nails down. Okay, so the next song is Lucid Dreams.
Dot
Have y'all been listening to B7? Dustin, not the fingers. .com. So Lucid Dreams by Brandy from her B7 project. This is my favorite song on the album, personally. I've had it on repeat. I love the album as a whole because I just love Brandy. She could sing to me about a burlap sack and I would be happy. It doesn't really matter.
She did.
Stop it. But I love this one. I've had it on repeat and this is how it goes.
One more strike and I'm out. I had to figure it out before I lose me to you. Feeling like I got demons to take. Maybe it's a dance, got worse all the time. I was always high. I had to readjust. I got the feeling I didn't belong there. All along here, I've been here before. Ain't no secret. You dealt me tragedy inside, ate me alive. I wanted to die till I realized my real life already left to deal with your broken soul. You need you and I need me too. Ooh, Jason, sleep.
Ooh, I miss Brandy.
That voice.
I'm just so happy. I've been in such a Brandy binge, like between watching Moesha every fucking day,
baby mama,
listening to B7, baby mama, listening to B7.
Skipping that.
Stop it.
I be hitting skip so hard I almost broke the damn thing on my phone. Even no buttons, it's just a screen.
And you know what was cool? I don't know if y'all follow Erykah Badu on Twitter, but she was giving major props to Brandy about Brandy being her inspiration. And then someone posted a video of India Arie back in the day talking about how Brandy was her inspiration. I was like, that's so tight. Like, we forget.
Yes.
That Brandy really was the queen in the 90s. Like, she had movies, her TV shows, her albums. Like, she was a pop star, like a whole ass black pop star. Yeah, Barbies. Yep. Remember she had a Barbie?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I wonder.
And it was a mother Barbie, too, for Sonya.
Stop it.
I think she had a.
You don't remember?
I think she had a couple Barbies while you playing, because there was a Moesha Barbie, and didn't they do a black Cinderella Barbie?
Yes, and the Sonya doll came with pins.
Stop it. And remember when Brandy was on Thea?
Yes.
To the Capitol.
Even before Moesha. So, and I love Thea. We were actually talking about that the other day, and Jade tweeted Netflix and said, where's Thea at?
Yeah, we want Thea, damn it.
We want Thea back.
I've been watching Moesha, too. Consistent. I'll save it for TV Land. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, true. But yeah, so those are mine. Victoria Monet, Touch Me, and Brandy, Lucid Dreams.
Yes. All right, well then, Dustin, what the hell you been listening to then?
Well, while we still on Brandy, I won't play it, but I'll just sing it because, you know, it goes a little something like this. I'd rather be kissing you, baby, yeah, that's my shit. Anyway, that's my song on Brandy. Rather Be, that's like my favorite song on that.
And Victoria Monet wrote that.
She did.
Wow.
Yep. So look at the connection. Yep.
I need to listen to her project too. I downloaded it. I just haven't had a chance to listen to it.
It's tight.
Because I've been stuck on this Aminé project now.
Yes.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what y'all came to do, but this project is fire. And I just want to highlight a couple songs. This first song is called Fetus, and I literally have been playing this song nonstop.
Working dead end jobs to my girl off. Me and my baby broke, so we don't know what condoms are. The chains my mama gave me clinking like they Dorsey dog. I hope my seed don't inherit my dad's cholesterol. I'm protective cause this world has got an evil will. They giving guns with every motherfucking happy meal. A shooter every month and they pretend it's daffodils. My son'll probably see that fire before a fire drill. We fell in love and lit a flame before the tinder came. Back when T.I. bring him out in 50 with game. We was a unit, something special, life was super bliss. You shook your iced coffees like they was Shakira's hips. You dig? I want it, but she called it, she want to get on it. I tell her, I'm on one.
Love it. That's Fetus by Aminé. The shit. The other song, one of the other songs that I love so much on here is Roots featuring J.I.D. and Charlie Wilson.
J.I.D.
You say you heard a lot about me. Nigga, fuck what you heard. It's all fun and games till it happens like a base guy curse. Yeah, cell keep ticking on me like I'm 617. Yeah, my cousin Steve steers like he's 617. Okay, devil on my shoulder, marijuana from Boulder. You know my niggas in this motherfucking bitch. If being ugly was pretty, I'd be the shit. Never been nowhere, but these niggas, they love this Eritrea, Ethiopia, Habesha, Utopia. Bitches getting cold, the niggas grab your Patagonia. So I told me to quiet her. I had to get a baby who could make me get wired up. You know I'm about that action. My nigga Mark could get it cracking.
Open yes. up your soul so. And take your body. Roots featuring J.I.D. and Charlie Wilson. And the last song I want is Pressure in My Palms, which is the shit.
Yeah, I got that pressure in my palms. Boy, I got that pressure in my palms.
This is Britney Spears when she was bald, nigga. Punkin' niggas way before they was punk, nigga. Smoking Ashton Kush, so I calm down, nigga. We don't wanna hear your mixtape, my nigga. I fade niggas like barbers. I got more pressure in my palms than Arthur. Man, it's like when Fergie Peter Pan. That's when Honey used to dance. Matt Barnes vs. Derek Fisher caught you niggas in the. When niggas don't finish they fucking sentences. If Steve Harvey said my name wrong, I'll catch a sentence. Malice at the palace, or Winona up in Saks Fifth. This is metal world peace before the peace came, bitch.
So it's just it's a whole vibe.
Okay, I'm liking that.
Yo, the song, the
whole vibe.
Did you hear Easy? The record with Summer Walker where he sings? Yo.
Wow.
He's so tight. He's so tight on so many levels.
The melting gift.
Yo, what is wrong with us today? What is wrong with us?
Friend, you. Anyway.
I have done nothing.
.com. So I just have one selection I'm going to play. I'm going to just shout out one more person. Shout out to Black Boy JB. He is big. Black Boy JB is someone that, you know, we've loved so much.
Just got his ass beat.
Well,
did you see him fighting?
I didn't.
The other day,
what?
You didn't see the video footage of the fight. Black Boy JB got beat up by, is it Young NME? What's his name? I can't remember the other rapper's name, but they were fighting on the couch. It was everywhere. You didn't see it?
Damn, nope.
No.
Everywhere, yes. And Black, he put the pause on Black Boy JB. I promise you.
Damn.
I'm y'all gotta see it.
Well,
I wish y'all could have seen. How did I know y'all wouldn't have seen it? I'd have been sent y'all that shit.
Pull that up at the top of TV. Right now, I'm just playing. Well, I feel bad. Black Boy JB put out a song called Do What I Do. So y'all can listen to it or just go watch him do what he does in this video. That's what I'm talking about. Outside of that, I wanted to quickly just shout out and play a little bit of a girl group I've talked about before called Good Girl out of Philly. Good Girl, they put out a song a while back with A Boogie with the Hoodie. They had a cameo in Mulatto's Bitch from the South video. I talked about them on the show before, so shout out to Good Girl. They've been working. They have a new track out called Don't Talk Back. There's also a visual to go with it. So check them out on YouTube, and if you feel like hitting them up on Twitter, tell them that the Friend Zone sent you. And here is the song, Don't Talk Back. Okay. Yeah, so I stopped it there, creme brulee, for obvious reasons. Outside of that, shout out to Good Girl. It's just good to see a girl group, four lovely young brown, beautiful women, and they all represent their colors like the Power Rangers. I'm digging the theme, digging the fact that y'all out here working. So shout out to Good Girl. The name of that song again was Don't Talk Back. And outside of that, that does it for the Music Man segment. If you're out there listening and you feel like you want to share your song because you're going to do it anyway, tell us what you've been listening to. And with that said, now we can move on to TV Land. Dustin Ross, please tell us, what have you been watching?
Every time you say, if you guys are listening, I always think about this song by this group called Jimmy Eat World. Do you remember that
it
band?
Just takes some time.
You remember Sweetness? You remember the Sweetness? When they be like, if you're listening, wow. Ding, 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 ding. I always think about that when you say that.
Okay, wait. Can I just take one more?
So that's a Music Man bonus. Sweetness by Jimmy Eat World.
Can I take one last liberty because you didn't set that?
Of course.
Okay, so Fran mentioned the emo bang earlier. We've been talking about Victoria Monet. I want somebody... I would love this idea, this concept to come to fruition. I don't know how it's going to happen, but all these hot R&B girls that got that little alternative edge, and even like the old school soul bitches to say, you know, we could have ate that if we wanted it to. Like, it would be dope to have like a soul mixtape of these bitches taking like that alternative shit and like flipping it. So like, you throw SZA, her, Erykah Badu, and the bitch if she wants to, even Jill Scott if she want to play, like some of these bitches, and they do like some old school renditions of like, because this is random, but just go with me here. I would love to hear Summer Walker do like an Aerosmith style, like, production-esque song, just because they used to do like these, some of these cinematic ass like type songs. So that's just a little random pin bonus. And now I'm done for real.
What's that Aerosmith's? Is it Crying? I was crying
when I met you. Now I'm dying to forget you.
Low key, Summer would float on that.
Yeah, she would.
I was crying. She would be going off. So okay.
Dying to forget you.
TV Land. Okay, so I've been watching Moesha consistently on Netflix.
Yo, like,
started streaming. Like,
I can't.
And her
away.
Little brother
Miles
is so goddamn funny.
Isn't
on that
he?
Show.
I forgot
I don't
about
know
it.
How I missed that over all these years. You know, it's always a different experience revisiting these shows. You know, after years and years have gone by.
I literally said the
experience.
Same thing. I was like, I do that not remember Miles being this fucking funny.
From the very fucking beginning, he has been hilarious. Him and Andale. Andale was so goddamn funny on that show. Rest in peace to Yvette Wilson. But that was an incredible show. So,
and he was so little in the beginning, you know, for him to have that comedic timing just.
Awesome. Which that was naturally in him, them little facial expressions and shit. He was so funny. But yeah, so that's been great. And Shirley Ralph is just such a treasure to the Black arts community.
Yes.
You know, all the things that she's done, and she's just such a, I love Shirley Ralph.
The OG so. Mama D.
Yeah, I love Shirley Ralph was on that list. You know the list I'm talking about, mm-hmm. the people you can't fuck mm-hmm. with. You know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. Okay, second thing. Greenleaf on OWN. Now, if you guys have been watching and keeping up, you know that unfortunately, it looks like we lost the bishop.
I'm glad you're talking about this because my mama has been like, "When is Dustin going to talk about Greenleaf?"
Wait,
we lost
what?
We lost the bishop.
He died.
It's still raw. It's still very raw for me. So please allow me. Please, I just
Wait, but is this a thing where we think he died? Like they did Ghost on Power? Or
the next
we
episode is called The Homegoing Celebration.
Mm. Holy shit.
And they're
shit.
showing the whole family in black. Now, I do know there's going to be a Greenleaf spinoff. So somebody in some of these stories somehow are going to live on in this spinoff. But honestly, I wasn't ready for the show to end. And I damn sure wasn't ready for Bishop Greenleaf to die.
Damn.
How
so
did
I
he
really
die?
Have an attitude on top of me. I just had to say it because of the color purple. And it's like, how'd he die? On top of me. But
like
he had like a stroke or something in May's arms in the bedroom.
Damn.
And they was getting ready to go get married again the next day. It's just so much shit. Like, so much happened. So if you've been watching The Blue Green Leaf, just know that you are not alone. I, too, have been pulled to my wit's end. And I don't know what I'm going to do to make it through this week's episode because Bishop Greenleaf passing away.
Wow. Wow.
I just help me. So so that's just all that we need to really talk about. Other thing I want to talk about. It's Housewives of Potomac because it's been so
I was gonna ask, good. Are we allowed to talk about it or now that you like in there, like what's going on?
Try and try it. It's been so good. I know that this season I am not going to have the most favorable take on Candace Dillard.
Yeah.
Bissette. I'm just not.
You know?
I think that she is a huge problem and a huge part of the problem. And she is unwilling to, she lacks humility, okay? And it shows in her unwillingness to be involved in conflict resolution. You know, all she's willing to do is get her digs in and keep it moving. And that's why you ended up drug across the table because you have that sort of attitude like that. So Giselle is literally the worst dressed housewife I have that has ever touched the Bravo network from season one of Real Housewives of Orange County, which was the very first show they ever did, until now. She is literally the worst dressed housewife in the face of, like, every, in existence in the Bravo, any franchise, everywhere.
Every since, and not ever since, every since you stated that it's country, every time I see her, I always see it. I
catch always, it. You catch it every time.
And I don't even try to. It's like an innate, like, there's a bow there. Like,
did she have on a sparkly dress with knee-high denim boots?
No, that was Candace.
That's Candace.
Because I saw people tweeting that picture out. But, you know, I don't know who anybody is. I just saw them laughing.
Yeah. We were all confused because it just she said she had gone around the world to get this outfit. And then she shows up in that. I just had never seen anything like that. So, but Giselle showed up at a dinner meeting or lunch meeting with Candace, actually. And she literally had on some white, I believe they were white ripped jeans in the front. She had on some sort of like busy shirt. She had a denim jacket over top of that the back was completely like ripped in. Then she had the sleeves in that rolled up, a bunch of like pageant jewelry, like oversized Miss America jewelry. Then she had a baseball cap on that somehow it was like a snapback, but it had a tiara that was poking out of the front of the hat.
I did see that.
It was laying on the brim. And of all that, guess what she pulled up in? A Gucci Fiat.
Do you know that took me out? When I seen that Fiat, I could not believe that.
That you said looked like Little Kim.
I did. I did say that. I did say that.
We saw a picture of Little Kim with this Gucci belt on and Asante.
She liked the Gucci Fiat. And it pulled up in that episode of Housewives of Potomac.
Yo, y'all are crazy.
And it hit me. It definitely hit me.
But I love Potomac. This has been a great season so far, and I can't wait to talk to Monique Wednesday night on my Instagram.
I can't wait either.
So.
A Gucci Fiat.
That's it with TV Land for this week, because I can't take it.
Can you please watch, or Frank, can you please watch The Last Resort?
Oh, shoot. You know what? I keep forgetting. What channel is that on?
TBS,
yeah,
right?
TBS.
I'm going to watch it tonight. I promise. I'm going to write it down.
You guys know what I watch?
What?
What?
Indian Matchmaking.
Yes!
What are your thoughts?
I finally got y'all watching it, yes.
The girl, who's the girl that got stood up on the second date that she thought was going to be so great?
I don't remember her name, but with the like honey brown hair.
Yep, she's pretty, yeah.
Super cute, yeah.
Yep, I'm endeared to her storyline. The other girl that's a lawyer, that's really...
Aparna.
Lives in Houston.
I fucks with her, though. Because she just
got the gall.
That's the thing. She was annoying at first. Like, I was like, oh, my God, girl. She just seems so crabby. But I like her juxtaposed with everyone else. You know what I mean? Like, I like that they're showing someone that's like, no, I'm not going to settle. You're not going to tell me who to like. And I don't give a fuck. And it's annoying at first. But then I like it. Because I'm like, we need to see that kind of energy, too, you know?
Yeah, we need to see a few things. Cause while she talking about, she obviously pays attention to what she wears. I said, ma'am, you got on a tablecloth dress.
Them shoes, then, bruh. The shoe rack was crazy.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
That shoe rack
nothing
stressed
but
me
chunky
out.
Heels. Shout out to Alexander Rogers and Chris from Pop Roast, who they used to be like, closed mouth, chunky heel. Talking about that detective on Power that always had her hand in her pocket.
Oh, my God.
But that matchmaker was so shady to Aparna, is that her name?
Yeah.
And to Nadia, the tall girl, as soon as she met them, she was straight up shady to the point where I was like, okay, is it just me? Or, and then think about the reception she gave the guy, Prada Human, or what, I can't remember what
the
his name is.
The one that was like wealthy and light skinned. Uh huh. Well,
did
clearly.
You see how happy she was to be like, you know, I'm like, she is like literally cutting these girls off, being shady. Like, I could not believe it. It was unbelievable. So,
and you know what's so interesting? You know, none of the couples from any of that season have lasted.
Wow.
So I don't know how well the matchmaking, and to add to it, even the book that we discussed last week, Saban Fusome, her and her husband didn't make it either. They got divorced. So it's just interesting when you kind of throw that conversation into the mix.
I've been told you about her friend.
.com.
And with that
I told you about her last
said,
week.
With that being said.
Oh my God.
What?
We're coming up on our anniversary. Or is it?
This 14th? 17th? It, yep. What day is it?
17th.
So by next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I love you guys.
We should do something cute, right? Yeah. 5 years. Woo. Mm. 5 years.
Who knew we would do a year in quarantine?
Man.
Of sacrifice.
But we'll celebrate somehow. We'll figure out how to celebrate on the show next week. But as always.
You're going to get worse. Never mind.
Oh, and it's 250. This is the 250th episode too, which is pretty cool. A pretty cool milestone. Such a cool milestone. As always, we love you so much. Thank you so much for listening to us for the past 5 years.
And yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord. We will see you guys next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Ben and Jerry's three new non-dairy frozen desserts are a new twist on vegan euphoria. The Ben & Jerry's flavor gurus have taken a big leap this time. Their three new non-dairy flavors are made with sunflower butter, and they're the perfect sweet treat for vegans, vegetarians, and everyone in between. Check out the Ben & Jerry's sunflower butter lineup and the whole non-dairy family at benjerry.com. That's benjerry.com.